Matt from LFL. I'm Alon.
This is Walsh.
In this week's episode, we're back to normal post-wildcard life. We'll talk what the fuck happened in Game Week 6 and look ahead to Game Week 7. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Alon.
Quick PSA. A lot of people tweeted in that their lineups and captains got fucked up because they're using the app and not the website. Just use the website. Make sure your lineup's fine. Just don't fuck around.
I didn't know that. That sucks.
Yeah, I had to throw that in. Okay. Opening question this week, I believe, is from guest Jason from a while ago. He asks, if you could be the personal assistant to any manager, who would it be? With an emphasis on personal assistant, like day-to-day life things, nothing to do with footy.
This is a very good question. This is a guest Jason question?
Yeah, I think so. I think when we did In Studio Pod, he threw that out there and I wrote it down.
All right, I think you'll like my answer. It's got to be Klopp.
Oh, I love that.
Because you get to smoke two packs a day and his, like, probably staying with him in the smoking room at the hotels. He definitely drinks all the time he has to do.
Heavily.
And it would probably just be fun. Like, as long as you don't fuck up, he probably would just love you and it would be fun and shit.
Yeah, you just have to be like normal and cool and drink with him and shit. Yeah, that's a good, great answer. I went with like the more boring but relaxed lifestyle.
Yeah, like Eddie Howe or
Arsene Wenger. Just like
fangs.
And he's not married. He has no like young kids to take care
of. Of course he's not married.
Yeah, he has no young kids. Like, all he does is probably smoke and drink wine and eat like really good cheese and stuff. Like, My task will be like, go to the bakery, get me a baguette, like, get me five shots of espresso immediately. Like, he's 70 years old. It's an easy day to day.
Yeah, he's probably just baguette, red wine, like cheese, and smoking. That's
it. Good life. Yeah, I have to find the best croissant spot in like every city that we go to. Like, easy.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, he just seems like he'd be kind of like a twat.
You think he'd be a dick?
Like, after a while, I feel like he would just not be, like, that fun. Like, he would be, like, a curmudgeon.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, is he fun? Like, he's not a fun guy. Like, he's just, like, with
his
smirking.
He's not fun, but it would be so funny for me.
Yeah.
Like, imagine the shit he just says.
Yeah.
I like it.
Mark Hughes would probably be fun because he's just probably a raging alcoholic.
Oh, my God. It's like Big Sam style.
Yeah, he probably just fucks prostitutes all the time.
Him and Arnie go out.
Oh my God. And Boyan.
And Boyan
and Shaq,
Shakira.
All of them. Just fucking running train.
Oh yeah, wait. There was that quote where they don't even practice defense. They just fuck around. Like,
yeah, Mark Wilson, now a Bournemouth defender who doesn't play. Same shit.
Yeah, that's a very, very good one.
All right, so let's get our wild card post-mortem.
Yeah, so I can start. I mean, I feel good. I had 58.
Give me like your team for people that maybe didn't see our final lineup.
Yeah, for people who don't know, we post our lineups and who we chose to start in the 11 every week on Friday on the website called Lineup Lamentation. So if you didn't see that, you didn't see our final wildcard squad. So I have at goal, I have Pickford and Boric. Defenders, I have Kolarov, Matip, Koscielny, Holobas, and Amat. Midfield, Sterling, Mesut Özil, Firmino, Antonio, and Darun is just whatever, fodder. And then Aguero, Lukaku, Rashford. So I feel pretty good. I don't have too many regrets except for maybe getting rid of Alexis, who just keeps titting. But, you know, Özil still had a really good week and is
only 4 points in that right
now. Yeah, Özil's really reliable and, you know, you could just keep him for a long time. He'll always return. But I got 58 points. I went up like 140,000 places. So kind of back to where I was before the suicidal last spot. And then, you know, my rank's still not good by any means, like 215K. But wildcard team performed well, feels good going forward. And points on the bench keep haunting me with the Boric and Koscielny clean. Just fucking nightmare. Mm-hmm. But that's my third consecutive game week with no cleans, which is just so hard to
I
do.
Join you in that third consecutive no cleans. It's good.
It's absurd.
But it's still the difference in points from the plateaus of rank is still very small. Like, I think I'm I'm at like 127K, and I think I'm only like 9 points away from like 50K. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you gotta.
No, yeah. It's so small.
The other thing is like.
You have 9 more points than me, and you're like 80,000 yeah, places it's crazy. Ahead.
That's why just taking a hit seems like not. Don't know.
Yeah, it's so bad. Yeah.
But that is one thing also I was thinking about, and also from last season with the chips. You have to assume that there are a lot, like vast majority of people that are ahead of us probably have used all of their chips.
Oh, yeah. You can, on that, you know that FBL Discovery site? Yeah.
Does it have that?
Yeah, it has that. It's like, I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but a lot of the people in the top 10K before we even wildcarded had already wildcarded, had already like triple captain.
Yeah,
like triple captain Aguero some week or something. So it's like, yeah, we have those in our back pocket, saving for the double tits late in the season.
Can't wait to triple cap Carroll again. That's going to be great.
Oh, my God. Triple cap fucking Sterling this year.
Triple cap knife in my throat.
But, yeah, so we're sitting pretty good as far as that
goes. So Kolarov was the big rogue. Like, when I woke up, I was just like, what the fuck did you do? You put Kolarov in?
Yeah,
why are you tormenting yourself in that way?
Yeah, I mean, I fucked around, obviously, nonstop on wildcard, and I went through a lot of the top teams because I still believe in a strong defense, even though this year that's not happening. But I don't know, I still think City will eventually keep some cleans. Like, they only have one clean on the year, but they had that Champions League clean, and Kolarov's played 90 every game except one, and he's been really, really good, and he has some good attacking stats, like good crosses, like, and they're just such a force attacking that just not having three City players felt crazy to me. And I couldn't afford getting like Sterling and KDB and Kuhn. So I was like, maybe Kolarov will get me some cleans and he'll be part of some attacks when they just score like 4 or 5 goals every week. That was my thinking. And I love him, obviously.
Yeah, we talked about the rotation risk there. And
yeah, I think it's pretty minimal, to be honest. I mean,
I don't know, dude.
And he hasn't been.
Because what, he's been playing like fucking center back and Stones and Otamendi, and then he plays fullback sometimes? Like, what's he doing?
Yeah, I mean, that's...
They have so many guys.
Yeah, but that's fine. If he plays 90 every week, I don't fucking give a shit.
Yeah.
You know, and even when he plays center back, they push so far forward so that he still gets like a shot and like 2 chances created.
Yeah, but it's the same thing also, like we're talking about. He uses subs on center backs for fun. Like, those are subs that he actually thinks about, whereas 19 other managers in the league never think about making a sub on their healthy center back.
No, totally. I mean, it's definitely risky. I get the feeling.
He's been playing consistently. He's kind of like Alaba for them, maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I get the feeling that Pep just really, really rates him, like, higher than any other defender. Like, kind of the same way he feels about Sterling, where he's just like, I can put this guy anywhere, and he'll like do what I want, and he's quality on the ball. So
yeah, it's just 5'9" steep.
It's very, very.
I still don't like it. I really didn't like that pick. That was my only main problem with your team.
Yeah,
that's the call. But it's like you did put a lot into defense. I guess you have like 2 6-million defenders. You have like 1.55. So
yeah, no, I put a lot.
We'll see how it returns. We'll see how it returns.
Yep.
Yeah, but Ötzel, yeah, he had a good game for you, so that was good.
Yeah, that goal. I don't know how many times he's going to score that goal, but
no, it was his. I mean, his stats were typical. Like, that was his only shot attempt and shit. So it's just like, oh god,
he's kapoo.
Yeah, he didn't. happy kapoo blank day today.
Oh my god, the best holiday of the year.
Yeah, this was incredible to see that happen.
I tweeted like when he didn't get that yellow card, I was like, what the fuck? Like, the ref obviously has him in FPL, like blah blah blah. And some people wrote back like, he got the ball, like that wasn't a yellow card. And I was like,
he had some afters. He had afters.
Yeah, I mean, I'm biased. I don't fucking give a shit. I hope he gets a red card every game.
Ugh, it'd be so good.
Yeah. All right, tell me about your squad.
I had 60 points this week. I went up a bunch, and it's kind of similar to yours. Just like, I feel good, but I went even less than you on goalkeeper. I went with Pickford, and I put in Nordfelt. because Jakubovic was like at 99% all week to rise, didn't rise. Of course, rose like the day he gets dropped, but I knew he was going to get dropped and I didn't want to suffer price drops to that in that spot. So I just put in someone who no one owns at 4-0 and whatever. So,
yeah, so I feel like no that chance was of dropping basically.
Yeah, I feel like that was clever, but it also, I'm not sure if Jakubovic is even going to drop like 0.3 because he's at 4.2 now. I don't know. It doesn't really matter, but Pickford, it was good because I was like, yes, I'm going to get all of Pickford's save points, and he had zero this week, so you're welcome, everyone else who has Pickford. It was probably because we brought him in.
Yeah, I mean, I had his Crystal Palace score 3 goals, and he gets 1 save. It makes no sense.
Yeah, I mean, we were just terrible the whole game and putting nothing on target, and then all of a sudden, like in a 25-minute spell in the second half, we just start scoring everything. So it was a really weird game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's like almost like against teams that are mid-table or lower, he's worse because they don't
dominate and shoot so much. Yeah,
yeah, it was kind of a back and forth game. Then defense, I had Lovren in for a while, but I went when he was supposed to miss the game that night before I saw that news. So I went a little rogue and I put Klein in, who I like. I mean, he created the most chances of any defender I think this week. It looked like he had. For him against Matip, for example, I mean, he looks so much better to me after watching that Hall game, and they're playing teams like Hall moving forward.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think
he was just everywhere. Yeah, he was just everywhere, and he could have had an assist or this and that here and there. So
he was like in the final third the whole game.
Yeah, the whole game, because, I mean, why wouldn't he be there playing Hall? I got Fuchs in, which is also a little bit rogue, but I just was looking at the fixtures and I was really looking between like an Everton defender for this spot, and Everton's fixtures just don't look that good after they have a couple good ones and then they turn really sour. So Leicester have like really easy home fixtures coming up, so it's a little bit steep to rotate someone that's like 5-4 and Fuchs, but I feel like he's still going to just be like bonus machine, and they have been good at home against bad teams so far. So I feel like they might still keep clean. So I don't know. I like Fuchs. He's a little bit left field, but
yeah, he has that run starting on the week 11 where you just start him every week for like 8 weeks or something.
Yeah. And I mean, again, like with defense, I'm looking at wildcard to try not to spend a transfer on defense for a while. And Fuchs just lined up nicely with the rest of my back line, so we'll see how he does. And then if a Holobas like you is good 0-pointer today, he'll probably get banned soon with his fifth yellow. And then my biggest miff of the weekend was my Glenner goal that did not happen. That should have happened.
Oh my god, Dawson, your number one enemy.
And he's in a drop in price tonight. I hope he drops like 50 million fucking price millions and he dies. But yeah, I put Glenner in because I just like Hall to rebound. I think they're a lot better than what they've shown so far. And I mean, starting with the West Brom home game last.
I'm sorry, dude. Someone's ringing my doorbell. Give me 1 second.
Okay.
My neighbor just brought me a piece of cake, even though I told her I can't come over because I'm recording a podcast.
That's class for you. That's Brooklyn good. Hospitality.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, Glenner, that missed goal sucks, but I kind of like it. I mean, yeah, we both feel the same way about Glenner, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he dropped a couple times, so he's 4-8. And the fixtures, I mean, he has home Sunderland, home Swansea, home Bournemouth, home Burnley, at Hall in the next, you know, bunch of game weeks. So at 4-8, and he's clearly good on bonus points as he's shown last season, and he's got attacking potential. He just seemed like the missing piece of the puzzle, and he rotated well with the rest of my back line, so I went with him. So I like my defense a lot, and it's pretty spread out in terms of fun, so we'll see how they do rotating moving forward. But it's always shitty ass after a wild card to have no cleans from everyone.
Yeah, it's just God, the season's
cleans
so
have just been insane. Like, cleans have been so unpredictable. Midfield, I have Firmino and Mane double. So Mane had the goal. I mean, didn't have Lallana or Coutinho, which is a little annoying, but feel happy with both of them. De Bruyne, the 10 points was nice. The injury is not nice. And then Antonio is my fourth mid. So, I mean, we'll get to transfers later, but I don't know what the fuck to do with Ginger Belgian. We'll figure that out.
Yeah.
And then I have Darun also, 4-4. I cashed in on Capu's price rises. And since he's just going to be blanking for the rest of the season, I didn't feel the need to keep him. And then same front line as
so
you.
So cheeky.
Fuck him. And then same front line as you with Aguero, Lukaku, and Rashford. I mean, we both dodged bullet. It feels like going Rashford over Deeney. We were texting about that all week. Yeah, but just, I mean, especially since Rashford has home Stoke and he just scored again. Like, he just seems so nailed. And watching Watford today was just having a draft with Deeney, Holobas, and Pereira to only Holobas. I just feel like I ended up so much on the right side of the coin because if they can't do anything against Burnley, I mean, those are the teams they're playing that are kind of like more defensive minded and can't maybe control the ball. So there's less space or something on counters. I don't know what it is, but Watford still preseason wasn't supposed to be like anything close to good. So we might have dodged a nice bullet by kind of going a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, also though, on the other side of that coin, I'm kind of pissed off I didn't pay attention to Burnley maybe at home, like going Heaton or something. Like, they've only had a few home games this year. They've two cleans at home, and the other two were like that Snodgrass goal in the 95th minute where they should have kept a clean, and Swansea week one. Like, they feel like the type of team that maybe they can actually do a job at home, even though they have really bad fixtures coming up.
That's the thing is, I mean, I looked at Heaton a lot because he gets a lot of save points, you know, last time Burnley was up, and he's always a shout for bonus points because usually their defenders are so bad at the bonus points. But their next four, like Arsenal, Southampton, Everton, United, like, you don't want to start them for any of those.
Yeah, nightmare.
Yeah, the fixtures are really mixed. And that was the kind of thing where I was looking at, I could go Heaton and a 4.0, or I could just have a 4.0 on an equally as shitty team with probably same outlook of like, maybe they'll keep some cleans at home,
and
maybe
save
not.
Points.
Save
yeah.
point. But like, that was, you know, with Pickford, I'm just, granted, like, you have Boric, so you have good cover and you have a little bit of a rotation thing to think about. But it just seems like it's so unpredictable at this point for cleans that saving the money made more sense to me. But you can't fault Heaton as a pick, really.
Yeah,
a so that's where we stand. We both had good weeks.
Yeah.
The main thing that I still is a little bit shocking is that neither of us had Alexis.
Yeah, I mean, it's just hard. He's so expensive. Most expensive you can't get everyone. I mean, I'm happy I at least have Arsenal coverage, which is something we'll talk about when we talk about transfers, because I know you might be looking that way. But
Let's talk about it, because I think the two main talking points probably are Arsenal attack and Liverpool attack after this weekend, because that's probably what most people are looking at for their transfers. I mean, City, everyone has Aguero now again, and everyone probably is going to have Sterling if they had KDB. That's probably the clearest cut transfer to Sterling. But Arsenal have like four midfielders you could viably get. Liverpool also have four, maybe even five midfielders you could probably get. Let's look at Arsenal. I mean, everyone's in different price brackets.
Well, hold on. Let's do shout out sponsor and then let's go there.
Okay.
All right, so I forgot to shout out the, as usual, top of the FMLPL league, which is still Franco C, Natural Selection. He has a huge lead. He's just going to be top for a while, I think.
Really? I haven't even looked at this. What's he got going on? Did he wild card, or is he just hacking?
I think he's just fucking killing it. Yeah, he's just cheating. He is fucking
60? He's 57th in the world?
Yeah, he's 50 fucking 7th in the world.
He took a hit. Terrible defense. Well, this team's like the same as yours.
Yeah, it's very similar.
Same everything attack except for Benteke instead of Rashford, and then his defense is just like bad, like everyone's.
Yeah, everyone's is bad. But let's do sponsor, and then we'll do it. For this week's sponsor, we have a very special guest, post game speech from the Burnley manager himself, the one and only Sean Dyche. Okay, I didn't understand a word he said, did you?
No, nothing.
That's Sean for you. All right, so let's go back to where we left off with Arsenal.
So, yeah, Alexis 11, Otsel 9-5, Penn 15 club, like mid-sevens, Theo, same price, and then Awobes, cheap as fuck. It looks like logical manager thinking would be that this front four is their best front four, but you can never really trust Wenger to, you know, keep going with that, especially with the fixture pileup with Perez and his French lover, Olivier. What do you think? I mean, it seems like Alexis is a no-brainer, but at the same time, if he drops back as winger again, I mean, that's when he goes on those runs of blanks when he's not as involved. I don't know. I'm still nervous a little bit. Yeah. It might be unfounded, but I don't know.
I feel similarly. I mean, producer Nate said before we potted that Alexis the main man and he can't see him being benched in the league, which is definitely promising.
Well, he's not going to be... Yeah, but where is he going to play?
Where he plays is so important because, as you said, I mean, he still will score a million goals from winger. It's just less consistent, and he's not going to be part of every goal.
And he's not going to be worth the price, probably.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of why I went Ozil, for the savings, mm-hmm. obviously, but then just like starting number 10 every single game, no question, involved. In like most goals, like he's just consistent like that. But yeah, I mean, anyone who's bringing in Alexis or on wildcard now or has Alexis, you can't say anything bad about it. I mean, he's been so good. Last four games, he has 4 goals and 3 assists. So
yeah, it's been just massive. I mean, that's the kind of thing with Ibra blanked, and that was huge for us. But Alexis is the player that's hurting us right now, I think.
Yeah, and then he's got Burnley, home Swansea, home Middlesbrough, at Sunderland. So it's fucking terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, he has 3 double-digit hauls in his last 4 games. Granted, international break's coming up, so we'll see how that does. He didn't start the game after the last international break.
Yeah, Champions League and international break. We'll see.
Yeah, he gets back late from Chile, but... it's hard to see past Alexis right now. He's 11. It's really expensive, but...
Yeah, that's the thing. It's so hard to get to him if you're not on wild card. It almost will definitely take a hit, which I don't think is worth it.
In the long run, you have to expect he's going to like wildly outpace Ozil. But 4 points is a lot. Just when I'm looking at what 4 points cost in terms of the standings and then... You know, the difference of quality between those players that you're looking at, it's just tough to justify.
Yeah, and the thing is, historically, he hasn't really outscored Ozil. That's
true.
You know, because...
But he hasn't played striker for a run, like...
No, exactly. I mean, if we could definitively say that he's now their striker, which obviously we can't do, then he's... going to be the highest scoring mid in the game, probably.
Easily, yeah.
But we can't say that, and I just don't know. And I don't know, Lucas Perez, whatever. But when Giroud is
Nate hates him.
Yeah, Nate hates Lucas Perez. But
Nate thinks Lucas Perez is the biggest piece of shit ever.
Yeah, apparently Nate is just out to get him. But when Giroud is healthy, when he gets his big toe fixed,
numbers come alive.
Yeah, I mean, like... In the past, the rest of the team, except Alexis, would play so much better with Ollie. You know what I mean? When they're like playing off him. But Alexis was the one that suffered. So it's just so hard to tell what's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, Ozil, standard, you know, not really shooting that much. But you have to expect he's going to return regularly. He doesn't have an assist yet all season, which is very strange. But those will probably come. He had a lot of touches in the final third this past game week. And... You know, the fixtures look really great. I think Cazorla, I'm very off Cazorla. I mean, ever since that first sub game where he got those 2 assists, he's just done actual blanked for five games in a row from open play. You just can't spend like close to $8 million on a spot that's going to only return if the team gets a penalty.
And it's not even the money. So it's also just like the value of a starting midfield position in general because there's so many good mids. You know, you're spending it on Iwobi or Walcott or, you know, the Townsend or someone, there's just such a higher percent chance that someone's going to outscore him because he only gets pens. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Theo just looks great. He's reborn. It's Feo's team now.
Yeah, it's Feo's team now. He looks so good. I fucking love him.
Yeah, he's returned in 4 of the 6 game weeks. His stats are good. He's taking a lot of shot attempts, and he's been playing almost 90. You know, I mean, Iwobi's always the first mid off, and then he usually does one of the holdings off, the holding midfielders off, but... Theo's been great. At 7.5, he's just such good value. But the one thing that you always have in the back of your mind is if Alexis goes back to wing and Giroud or Perez play, then there's only one spot for Theo or Iwobi. So,
yeah, you know, it's still tough. But it was definitely promising this week, I think, from Walcott perspective. Like, it felt like his burst was really, really back. Like, he kept just, like, winning the short distance one-on-one sprints like over and over again. He was just abusing Dave on the left side, or Theo's right side. And it kind of reminded me of how you were talking about Bobby versus Mane last week, and how like Mane against bad teams might just like be his raw pace might just be the thing that unlocks the team. And I don't know, they're about to play 4 really fucking bad teams in a row, and I feel like you can make a similar argument for Theo.
Yeah, I think that definitely holds some water. I mean, I definitely think Mane is technically a lot better skilled than Theo. It's not really too close.
No,
there,
yeah,
think, but
it just means the style.
I take your point. No, I take your point with the pace. I agree. I think Theo looked better this game than I remember watching the few Arsenal games previously, but... it's still just a little bit nerve-wracking that he could get dropped at any point. It feels like it might be a transfer waiting to happen, but I think also at the same time, like at 7.5, when you look at someone, I was doing a lot of stat comparisons between him and Ozil, and when he's taking, you know, 3 or 4 times the amount of attempts that Ozil is taking per game, and I mean his threat, he's just so threatening. At 2 million less, I that feels to me like I'd rather have Wally than Ozil.
I mean, I think there's no question. Like but you brought up 2 key points. I mean, it's the difference between like a daily game, like Rene Miller style daily fantasy FanDuel or something like that. You go Walcott over Ozil every single time if he's starting. But that risk of him getting dropped to me was so massive that. Especially after a wild card when, like, you know, ideally I'm setting up my team for the long haul. Yeah. I just didn't feel like I could take that risk. I mean, Giroud should be fit really, really soon. And as you mentioned earlier, you just never know with Wenger. I mean, like, he loves Ox. Ox could fucking come in. I don't know, you know? Like, Theo's going to play 90 in Champs League probably.
Yeah, but he also loves Theo.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't?
Like, he could have fucked Theo off every offseason the last 3 years, and he hasn't done.
Yeah, no.
And now he's just donging for fun, and he looks incredible again.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so hard to tell. We need to get we need to get Wenger on the pod.
Yeah. But we'll see. I mean, Champions League lineup will be very telling. We'll see who he starts and who he rests. They're playing Basel, so, yeah, we'll see.
Well, Theo, that's how you do an Arsene Wenger impression. Start every sentence with like, and well, The dead time. I don't have anything written out. I'm not going to just go on.
No, you're fine. You're fine. All right. So I think that's just a little insight into what we're looking at for Arsenal mid. It's and then Iwobi. I mean, he's fucking cheap as fuck. He's under 6 mil. But
I know. I almost went Iwobi on wildcard, but... As you said earlier, like he plays like 60 minutes a week. Like it's just
it's tough. He's so always hard. The first level. And you have to think that Theo's going to keep his place over Iwobi at this point.
Yeah, like, you'd have to assume so.
You have to think that. So yeah, I think Alexis. I mean, I think Theo over Iwobi is pretty clear. And I don't know, 5'8". Like I would rather have Snodgrass in that bracket probably.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I don't know. There's probably a bunch of guys that are being transferred out right now. I know Derek is getting rid of Eriksen, and like getting someone like Theo right in that price bracket just sounds incredible to me.
Yeah, I'm starting to go. And dude, you know I fucking was bugging about Theo preseason.
Yeah, I mean you always do though, so it doesn't.
Yeah, it's just white noise at this point.
Yeah, that's just default setting.
Liverpool. So you have James, Penmaster at 6 mil, Lallana at 7 mil, Coutinho at 8 mil, Bobby a couple little bumps up, 8.4, and then you have Mane at 8.9. I mean, they put 5 past Hull. They look like world beaters. They look like title contenders. They have no Europa League. They have no Champions League. They have no any fucking thing. I mean, we both were big on Liverpool.
And they have like 10 straight good fixtures except for United.
Yeah, we were both big on Liverpool and wildcard. We both have Bobby, who's our weapon of choice. I doubled with Mane. But Coutinho, Lallana, and Milner all got double digits this week.
And for me, I did nothing.
Yeah, Firmino just straight blank. So what do we make of this?
Well, on the Firmino front, that was like the big question. Like everyone on Twitter and shit was asking me, like, how did he play? Like, what the fuck happened? Blah, blah, blah. And the truth is, like, he had a standard Firmino game. He just didn't, you know, it's like assists are lucky because you need the guy to finish them. And he created a bunch of chances, most on the team, tied with Coutinho. He was in the box a lot. He had a bunch of shots. And I don't know, this game, he just happened to blank. And it feels so shitty. Like, I know my brother had Zlatan and Firmino. Teams scored a combined 9 goals and neither of them returned, which just sucks. But looking at some stats, like over his career, Firmino has a combined 61 goals and assists in his last 90 starts. So he returns in 2/3 of starts. And it's just like, with as good as we're going, where we could score like between 3 and 5 seemingly against anyone, and you got to still be happy with Firmino and just hang on. Don't go crazy. Transfer him out for like Coutinho or Lallana. And he's going to return. But if you have no Liverpool mids is where it gets interesting, because then you have to decide which one of them to bring in. And that gets a lot trickier. I wouldn't bring in Milner, even though I was thinking about it a while ago, kind of for the same reasons as you just brought up with Santi. It's just, you're guaranteeing a blank unless we draw a pen, which is just never something that you want to rely on with one of your precious attacking spots. But Lallana's really interesting to me because against these park buses where the whole team just gets so far forward, like we mentioned earlier, Klein was in the attacking third the entire game, basically. Like, Lallana was just like at the top of the box or in the box the entire game, even though like technically his position is center mid. And saving that much money and getting someone like him who's, you know, he's been great all year and Klopp loves him, and could be a sneaky good shout there. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's like almost like it's not even worth thinking or talking about and just looking at your team structure and what price you can afford. Because I feel like you can make a very sensible argument for any of these midfielders.
Yeah, I could argue for any of them, for sure.
Any of them, easily, like very easily. Like Coutinho's stats, Firmino's stats, Mane's pace and stats, like Lallana's price and stats, like, you know, everything. But, I mean, I still love Bobby. I mean, he's the love of my life. He's so happy. He's got his top knot, his pearly white teeth.
I think he bleached this weekend, too.
Ugh, God, give me bleach.
I mean, like, bleach, could I I'm possibly love you more? I mean, it's just insane.
It might be triple cat.
Yeah, I mean,
and fun. Then, like, but, like, that's the thing is looking at it now. Obviously, me sitting here with Mane at 8.9 or Firmino at 8. No, I mean, I didn't even consider not having Firmino, but Mane at 8.9, I was playing with his spot a little bit. If I fucking saved 0.7 and went to Coutinho there, I mean, I'd be fucking beating off every day. But you got to think that the points are going to be shared. All of these players are in and around the box the entire time, and they look like putting 3+ past everyone. So I think it's a case where just don't make those lateral moves. Because I've seen a lot of like Firmino to Coutinho shouts.
I hate it.
It's just a lateral move. It's a waste of a transfer. They have basically the same outlook for points. I mean,
I think Firmino has a significantly greater output. That's the thing. It's like, those lateral moves are just so dumb because you're just chasing points that have already happened.
Last week's points. Yeah, you don't want to chase last week's points.
That's just such a bad idea. Even if you don't think Firmino has a greater points potential, they're at minimum equal. I would argue that Firmino has a greater points potential just because you know, his position.
He probably has more goals.
Yeah, I mean, like, even this week where Coot had a fucking massive double-digit return and Firmino did nothing, like, Firmino, like, same amount of created chances, in the box the whole game, had shots, etc. Like, that's the more consistent way of scoring, not like a world yet from outside of the box, but...
Yeah, they're both going to score points. But I think the bottom line, to me, I think, is that, like, there's not much between any of these four midfielders that we're talking about. Firmino, Mane, Coutinho, and Lallana. And I think it's just a matter of what price bracket you're shopping in. I do think Mane's got...
Get as many as possible, basically.
Yeah, I do think Mane's got a hat trick in him soon.
He always does, every year. Yeah, out of nowhere, Hattie.
Yeah, I think it's coming soon.
That'd be nice for you. I mean, I hope if Bobby blanks again, I'm going to fucking break something, but it's pretty impossible, honestly.
He won't do it. He's too good.
He's too good. And then...
And dude, I mean, United home, that's the best fixture. Those are the games where they put six past.
Those are the games where we go mental. I'm just...
Yeah, they get up for it.
Yeah. I'm just scarred from Mourinho's past against us. Yeah.
So, I mean, those were probably the two major, major talking points. But I think another thing is probably like a little falling stars action where you have last week, a lot of people were on wild card. Hazard and Ibra both like triple and double dropped, I think, in price.
Yeah.
And those who sold were repaid because they both blanked. So
Costa,
what do you think
too.
About
Costa in that mix too? And yeah, he didn't Costa, drop, but he blanked.
Yeah, he got a one pointer, which is even worse than blanking.
Yep.
What do you think about those kind of falling stars? I mean, it seems like there's such high point ceilings for so many of these players that maybe we're being too conservative of hits and maybe chasing the form is more potent. Like, I'm looking, a perfect case in point is Antonio. Like, he had good form, but then West Ham just laid an egg against a, in my opinion, not very good Southampton side, even though their defensive stats are okay. But West Ham look all over the shop. They still have a few good fixtures coming up, but is it silly to hold a player who's in bad form on a team that's even worse form versus jumping ship, even maybe for a hit, for someone like an Arsenal player who maybe could put four past this weekend? Or, you know what I mean? What do you think?
I mean, again, I think it's kind of overreacting. I mean, it's like, it's so hard to describe form. Like, the... Saying Antonio's out of form is like, okay, it won not amazing game. His stats were still the best of either player in the game. Like, most touches in the box, like, shots, etc. But he just had one game where he didn't score. To say he's out of form, I think, is, like, kind of crazy. You know, because...
You calling me crazy?
Yeah, well, we're both obviously crazy, so it's nothing new there. But, I mean, he's scored every one of the last four games. He can't score every game of the season. So, like, when does form start and when does form end? I don't know. I mean, I think you got to give someone like Antonio home, Middlesbrough, even though West Ham are fucking reeling right now, you got to give him at least one more game. Maybe if they fucking... the whole team sucks again like they did last week and they blank or whatever, then okay, sure, I'll talk about like panicking about Antonio and getting rid of him. But
no, if West Ham blanks home Burrow, I mean, he's out for a hit for me.
Yeah, he's probably
like, I would
out.
Take a hit to get rid of him.
Yeah, because they're just, you gotta just get yeah, all your West Ham
you,
players out.
You know that. Yeah, you know they're just horrible.
But like taking a hit to get rid of Antonio right now just feels insane to me.
Yeah, it's pretty insane.
I mean, it's just an overreaction. It's just a knee jerk, I think. And
yeah,
similar to chasing last week's points, you're doing the same thing with chasing away last week's blanks. You know, like you're just overreacting on one week where it's you know, if someone who has Zlatan, they score four goals, he's not involved. Like, I'm sure many people are taking hits to get rid of him or whatever.
I think he's double dropped all in both back-to-back nights, basically.
Yeah, which, you know, obviously sucks, but to take a hit, to take 4 points, which is the difference at this stage in the game of like 50,000 places or something, when he has home Stoke, that just seems fucking insane. Like, yeah, I'm on the border of transforming into Talking Head guy right now because, like, getting the feels a little bit. But, and Zlatan, like, if they're scoring 4 goals, that's a good thing for Zlatan. That's what people have to understand. Like, if they're free flowing and donging for fun, then
he'll watch Rashford hat trick and not get any assists.
Yeah, he'll hopefully assist Rashford's dons. That's best case scenario. He'll get the flick on near post header on a corner to then Pogba's goal. Just give me something. I mean, like, he still had good stats. He still had some really good chances. He teed up Rashford on that one counter that Rashford sent to Rosette. Like, you can't overreact on that, even though, you know, we both got rid of him on wild card, and it doesn't feel good to have him right now. I mean, to take a hit, it just seems a step too far to me.
I agree with that with Zlatan. What about Hazard? I mean, he's got to fuck off, right?
Yeah, he's probably going to go. I mean, especially because it's more similar to West Ham, where, like, the team is fucked.
Yeah, the team is fucked. And, like, he looks back to old, just, like, kind of floating around the game. Like,
yeah, every once in a while, he would have, like, a sick dribble.
Yeah, he'll take a pop at goal or something. But that was the thing that was interesting to me in the beginning, you know, opening 4 or so fixtures. Like, he was shooting a lot, and he wasn't just kind of fucking around outside of the edge of the box and making his little cheeky side passes, like, with his back heel. Like, he was actually being direct, but... Yep. The last couple games, to me, it looks like he's back to old, just, like, nonchalant, not really, he's just not direct. He just looks bad.
Yeah, and I think it could be emphasized again that it's a team problem. And it's, you know, the opposite of Zlatan, who just scored 4 goals and they look fine. Like, the team is fucked up. Hazard got subbed off early. Hasn't looked that good the last few. Like, that's really bad. Those are, like, telltale signs of, like, maybe he doesn't even start next game. Like, Conte might have fucking stabbed him after that game. Who knows? Like,
yeah, I mean, he just dropped in price below his starting point, and he returned in the first 3 game weeks. So I think that tells you all you need to know about what the people are doing.
Conte's like, do you like Huey Lewis on the news?
He's going to kill him.
He's going to fucking axe him
kill,
to death.
Murder. Axe to death.
Yep.
But so
I wanted to go back to United a little bit because they were, you know, I mean, they returned 4-1 to form.
Against the champions.
Is any other attacker other than Zlatan and Rashford safe?
Yeah, I think Mata's a good shout. I think he's someone who is similar almost to, like, Son of last week. When you look at, like, he looks good, clearly... When the team is clicking, he's doing well. I mean, it's kind of like Son had a brace 2 games ago. You knew he was going to be nailed for the next start. And then he had another brace, and he's just doing... His stats are great. Mata, like, stepped into that role that Rooney's been just so bad at, and then all of a sudden they bang 4 in. And a lot of it probably has to do with Rashford also, this pace on the wing. But I think Mata at that price is probably a pretty cheeky punt. But at the same time, like, would you want him over, like, Theo at the same price with Theo's fixtures? Like, fuck no.
Yeah, I guess you can't do that. But it is a fun little sexy punt.
Like, no, it's definitely
Hum Stoke at Liverpool. That's
those
sexy.
Are 2 great attacking fixtures. I think it's definitely a shout. I think Mata is definitely a shout.
Yeah.
As much as Jose hates him, you can't deny how the team looked this last game versus how they've looked in, you know, the few games prior with Rooney and shit. Like,
yeah, and one thing about Jose is all he cares about is winning. So, like, sure, he hates Mata. Mata probably hates him, as he should. But, you know, they play better with Mata, and they win more with Mata, so he should play.
Yeah, and Herrera was good at the base. I mean, finally, Fellaini's been dropped.
Oh,
he
my
should
God,
never,
that's
he
the
should
biggest change
play.
Of the team.
Yeah, that was big. I still don't know what Schweinsteiger has to do to get a game because I think he's complete class at the base of the midfield. I think he would really also transform. But Pogba playing a little more forward, they look good. I mean, they look really good. I think Paul's probably a shout, but he's just really expensive.
I think they, like, cut Schweinsteiger or something. I don't think he's even on the team anymore.
Did I say Schweinsteiger? I meant Schneiderlin.
Oh, yeah, you meant Schneiderlin.
What did I say?
You said Schweini.
Oh, I'm a little.
Yeah, how many beers in are we talking?
5.
5?
Yeah.
That's good.
I'm good.
What about Shaw? That's a lot of talk right now because, I mean, we don't know really the extent of the injury. Maybe we'll get some info in the midweek game and the Friday pressers, but Blind had like a fucking blinder worldie at left back, and he was taking corners, and he was just so good.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really have an argument that Blind is a better left back than Shaw. Like, I can't take that.
That's what I said to people on Twitter. But
yeah,
if Blind actually nails that down and takes corners, that's a festival.
Yeah, I just can't in my wildest dreams imagine that happening.
But is Blind and Shaw better than Valencia and Shaw?
No. Valencia's better than both of them.
I know. Valencia just has been having some fuck-ups lately, so I don't know. Yeah, just talking points.
No, you're fine. I mean, I love Valencia so much. But I think Shaw's pace and what he offers them, the width and the pace, is just... Blind is just like a little... He's like Joel Ward, but a little bit better. Like, he's like a slow, probably won't make too many fuck-ups, like, just fucks around a little bit. And he never finds a good position.
Yeah, he's a jogger. He jogs around.
Yeah, he's a jogger. But it's like he's playing on United, so his foibles will be covered by the class of players that are around him, but... No, I mean, Shaw's a really class left back. Like, I'm not taking that argument. No,
he's very, very good.
Yeah, he should walk back in.
Yeah, I think that's the majority of the big talking points. I mean, Son is just keep sunning.
Well, should we talk about, or should we just be so happy about the Kapoor blank?
We can just be happy. I feel like it's that kind of thing where we can just, like, drop the mic and just be like, yep, yeah, neither of us have him. Of course not.
Yeah, I mean... He actually had better stats today than any individual game so far.
That's scary.
Yeah, I think he had like more, you know, the touches in the box, like blah blah blah.
They went insane the last like 30 of that game where they just brought on attacker after attacker. So makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, but he was stationed, you know, like where Barami normally is in the second half, just shielding the back four, and he just looked like what we knew he was as a central defensive midfielder. So the points are going to dry up, so I feel bad for anyone that went forward with maybe a wild card last week, putting him in as their fourth midfielder or whatever, but he's got to be the fifth mid, and it feels good to have cashed in on the price rises. Granted, it's one blank, and sure, he could come back and score a goal next week, but you can't feel good starting a defensive midfielder week in, week out, ever, unless if he's a defender playing out of position.
Yeah, exactly. It's just not a good situation. Yeah. What do you make of Everton, last thing?
I mean, I don't know if they had, like... skeleton in the closet or ghost in the graveyard from their horror show at Bournemouth last year. Remember that wild game that they blew like late on when they were up, they were down, they tied, they lost. Like
the only reason I don't remember is because they blew every game last year.
Yeah, no, I think it was like a 4-3 loss or something when they were down 3-2 or something, and
yeah, that sounds Barkley really had familiar, a worldie, actually. Yeah,
and then they were going crazy, and then it was stoppage time, and Bournemouth scored like the winner or something.
Yes, I do remember that.
But yeah, but they just looked like fucking shit. I don't know how Bournemouth bosses that game. I don't know how Everton looked so good all season, and then they go into one of the worst defenses in the league and just lay a goose egg. But I'm not going to overreact. I mean, I still feel fine having like Lukaku, but it felt really good to not have an Everton defender, even though Coleman got 2 bonus points somehow. That was one of their three good fixtures over the next like 9, basically, or 8 or something. And I didn't feel good about them keeping a clean sheet, and they didn't. So that validated my gut.
Yeah, this was one of the ones that you were like banking on if you brought in a bunch of Everton.
Yeah, and I mean, home Bournemouth is a lot better than at Bournemouth, but you got to expect clean sheet against Bournemouth if you're a top, you know, 6 side. But I don't know. Bournemouth was just like Liverpool style, like all over the place. Everyone was pressing. Everyone was fast. They looked really good.
I love Eddie Howe. He's so good.
Yeah.
He's going to manage a big team one day.
Yeah, for sure. Everyone just didn't know what to do. They just got completely outplayed off the pitch, and it was a really bad loss. I mean, if they have those kinds of aspirations, then they need to be doing teams like Bournemouth away. And to be held to zero goals in that fixture is a bad job for them.
Yeah, I think Nate texted us on the day of just Bournemouth defense are just putting together a masterclass of just blocking and clearing absolutely everything. So congrats to them. Good job.
Yeah, it's a nice one for Bournemouth. Like, they're mid-table now. They're safely up. But we were also texting. I don't know what the fucking Max Gradle has to do to get in that side.
I wish he could get in that side, yeah.
Yeah, it's so annoying. Yeah. I don't know.
All right, let's go ahead to Game Week 7 shit. Captains, yeah. Cleans.
So, captains, I mean, we have Cooney Coons at the Lane.
I think captains starting, so interesting this week.
Yeah, people are starting to waver and start talking about Alexis, Laton, this and that. I mean, I have not even a little bit considering not captaining Aguero.
Oh, wow, really? Okay.
It's not even in my like mental space. It's automatically on Aguero.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, but I also don't have Alexis. I would maybe consider Alexis, even though Burnley at home do look a good defensive side. It's Burnley. I don't know. I mean, Spurs are arguably the best defense in the league at home. That's a tough.
They're a little bit. They're Dyer out, Rose out.
Yeah, they are a little bit banged up, but I feel like Rose is probably just sitting until this game.
He's a fullback anyway. It doesn't really affect him. Pat, like, Kuhn, come on. Like, he's off a brace. Like, what the fuck are we talking about?
I'm pretty sure I'll keep it on Kuhn. I mean, As I said, I don't have Alexis, but there are arguments to be made for. There's so many good teams playing bad teams this week.
Yeah, I just feel like 3-0 City wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, I mean, after what they did to.
Not at all. Like, Spurs are, they have like Jansen. I mean, Son is like in form, but it's like fucking fuck out at wing. Like, he's not used to these games. And like Eriksen, they're so lightweight. Dyer out. Like, I think that's a big loss for them in midfield. I feel like it's just going to be like a 70%, 60% possession game for City. And Aguero is just going to be everywhere as usual.
Yeah, KDB out's not great for him, but yeah, you're probably right.
He's so easily replaceable. They play Gundogan. They have Silva push him up a little bit more.
Yeah, they'll bring in like Silva and Sané or something.
I don't know. I mean, there's no real like fixture that I'm not going to captain Aguero, I feel like.
With the form that they're in, it seems that way.
Yeah. I mean, he just came back from his little break after having hat-tricked in the Champions League game. And then Brace, like, he has, how many fucking goals does he have this season? Like 10?
Yeah, he has
many. In like 6 games or something?
Yeah, he has. Like, yeah, it is something close to that. It's fucking absurd.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's where I'm at. I can't see past. No one doesn't really have Aguero, but I am seeing a lot of Zlatan love, but I still don't love that. I don't think Stoker a doormat anymore. They played really well this weekend against a shitty team in West Brom, but I think they're on the up, and obviously that's a better on paper fixture than at like the best defensive team in the league. But I still just have so much more faith in Aguero and Pep's their attack. It's not close.
That's the thing. It's just Pep and City. I was talking to Petra, friend of the pod, about it because she's going to this game, and even through talking to her about the game, it was just like. She was like, oh, I don't know who to root for because I don't really give a fuck about either of these teams. And I was like, I'm pretty sure your jaw is just going to be like on the floor the entire time watching City because they're just like so good and seem like such a cut above every other team right now.
Yeah.
Cooney.
Is there a fucking Hillary Donald happening right now?
Yeah, the debate's tonight.
Oh my God, I totally forgot about that, bro.
Yeah, I captained Hillary.
What's next? Cleans.
Yeah. I said earlier, there's so many good teams playing bad teams that it's one of those weeks where we're going to list every team as keeping it clean, and we're probably going to get none.
Well, let me tell you the teams that will not keep a clean sheet. Sunderland, because I will be starting one of their defenders. Watford, because I will be starting one of their defenders. Leicester, I will be starting one of their defenders, and Liverpool, I will be starting one of their defenders. So those are four locks at no clean sheets this weekend.
Yeah, and I'm starting Arsenal, so add them to the list.
Okay.
So that leaves
locks
us
four
with...
clean sheets will be Stoke, because I will be benching one of their defenders, and Swansea, because I will be benching one of their defenders.
Yep, City will probably keep it clean, because I'm benching Kolarov. Everton will probably keep it clean, because neither of us have him, and we talk shit on them this week.
So that leaves West Brom clean sheet for sure, because we don't have one of them. Bournemouth probably clean sheet. Well, Boruch, eh? Meh.
I don't know if I'm starting Boruch or Pickford.
Tittford.
Yeah, I mean, Tittford's home West Brom. It's so much better.
Yeah, but I'm starting him, so he won't keep a clean sheet. So you should maybe
start...
So should
I hedge life and start Boruch?
No, because that's me and you. We have different lives.
Fuck me, dude.
I don't know. That's for like...
That's an actual coin messaging. Flip. Like, I'm just gonna... Like, it doesn't matter what I do.
If you bench another goalie clean, though, and the other guy doesn't get a clean, that's gonna be a problem for you.
And it's gonna happen, so... Maybe for you, just as a gift, I'll start Boruch, so you get a Pickford clean? Or does our, like, negative, like, voodoo doll shit cancel each other out? I don't know.
I have no idea.
Anyway, yeah, that's cleans for this week, folks. Disaster.
I'm getting a little bit sad right now. I'm a little bit hungry.
Well, let's talk about your transfer, and then I think we're done. So I'm probably saving because I have no injuries, but you have a big injury, KDB, so...
Yeah, I mean, it was the kind of thing that I had a lot of energy in my draft to keep enough in the bank to do a straight swap from De Bruyne to Alexis. But when the Lovren news happened, I started fucking my shit up. So I ended up having I was 0.1 away from doing De Bruyne to Alexis, and then Alexis rose last night, so I'm now 0.2 away. So that's a little bit out of reach, but I really don't know what to do. Like, I want Alexis. I hate Antonio. I don't know. I might just do De Bruyne to Feo.
Yeah, I think Feo, and then, Ozil, and then Sterling are like your options probably, right?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really make that much sense to me to get Sterling ahead of at Spurs.
Yeah, but you're keeping Sterling for... forever.
No, yeah, I would do, but I think Antonio is a short life, and he would turn into Sterling.
I see what you mean.
Next week, you know? So,
but now you don't feel good about Atspurs? Like, 1 minute ago, you felt great about Atspurs.
No, I mean, I do for Aguero, but, like...
Yeah, it's different.
Raz,
category.
It could be... Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I still don't know what he's doing.
His goal was so fucking exciting.
Yeah, it was so good.
Just
but it's the kind of thing... Yeah, I suppose. But it's the kind of thing, like, on paper, it's not a good fixture, so do I want to transfer in a player before that when I could wait and then get someone up from Arsenal who's playing fucking Burnley, you know what I mean? Like, that's tough, even though Sterling's banging him in, but so is Theo. I don't know.
Yeah, to me, Sterling, I mean, he's only not returned in one game, and that was that weird... Darby came off on 59, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Every other game, he's just been godly.
Yeah, it also might be dictated for me to see the midweek games. I mean, we're potting on Monday before Champions League, so...
Yeah.
If maybe, like, Sterling is rested or Walcott's rested, then that might make me want that player more for the weekend.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
I mean, but I'm also in the back of my mind just like... Yes, we talked earlier about Antonio hit mental, but like I don't even want him. I didn't want him yesterday. I didn't want him before he blanked. Like, I don't want him. So maybe I just bite the bullet, take the hit, and get two guys I really want. I
hate that move so much.
All right, I won't do it.
I mean, you still might.
No, I won't. If you hate it that much, I think it's really dumb.
Yeah.
No, it's dumb. It's emotional, but. I think Walcott's maybe, I think I like Walcott a little bit more than Mesut Ertz.
Do you like Walcott?
Yeah, I mean, you know I do.
I mean, do you really like Theo? You fucking love Theo. Are you kidding, dude? You're obsessed with Theo. You talk about him every time there's any opportunity to talk about him.
That's true.
Every time there's an Arsenal game on, our text thread is just you being like, "Fail."
Yeah, it's true.
Just kidding.
So, I mean, I might need to just follow my dick and just,
yeah, just
go for Fail.
Yeah, exactly. Just whatever gets you the most al dente, just go towards it.
Well, then I would triple cap him this week, but I'm not going to do
Whoa,
that.
Whoa, bro. You could, though. Don't do it.
But that's the thing. It's like Mane, where I'm like, Feo has hat trick in him. Like, he's done before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, Ozil's cap is like...
hat trick of assists.
Yeah. Ugh, God. Now I'm getting a little bit sad.
That Theo turn... where he, like, flick-on turn on the touchline was, I think, like, the sickest moment of the year, maybe.
Yeah, it's so cool when they do that little, like, side touch and then just spin. It's great.
Yeah, the flick-ons are just, like, that gets me fucking wetter than anything else. It's just, like, no one else on either team was even running because they thought, like, obviously this ball's going out of bounds. And then he just, yeah, like, little, like, boop. And just everyone's, little, like, breath immediately gets taken away, and he's just off. It was so fucking sick. Yeah. I remember Suarez did the same thing, like, 2 years
ago.
Yeah,
he does that shit all the time.
Yeah, I fucking, you know, I love him.
But it's also with Walcott, I, like, keep thinking about just price. Like, why does price play into my thought process? Where I'm like, why would I keep all that money in the bank? Like, Ozil's more expensive. I can afford him. I should get him, but, like, fuck Ozil.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, that price does not matter.
Yeah.
And, like, we learned that last year when, for the first half of the season, having a team with a 90 million budget or 80 million budget was better than 100 million. But it's just, you don't have to spend all your money. And just doing a one week move to, like, Sterling or Theo and having that many millions in a free transfer for after an international break just can't be bad. You know, something's gonna happen on international break, and you'll have
probably
money.
Yeah, probably will do. So yeah, probably KDB to either Walcott, Ozil, or Sterling will be my transfer.
Love it, dude.
Yeah, I wish I could save.
Yeah,
Kevin.
I'd say start 4 defenders, but that's just automatic, even less points.
That's 4 defenders is like maybe 4 points net at home.
Max.
Walkie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, check us out at fmlpl.com. Follow on Twitter at fmlpl. Buy stickers at fmlpl.com/store. Email us at fmlpl@gmail.com. Join our league, like on Facebook, rate on iTunes. Cheers.